cohort.
Wait a minute. Five radicals, six counts.
It's like a fucking Abbott and Costello bit about to happen.
What do you mean six counts? Which one of them got two counts? None of them. They all got the same amount of counts. What do you mean? There's five radicals. There's six counts. There's one left over. Tell me who got two counts. They all got the same amount of counts.
Well, if they all got the same amount of counts, there's five guys and six counts. Clearly, somebody got extra counts.
I'll fucking kill you, bud.
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Hey, yo, what up, Big Perm? I mean, Big
and
Worm.
Ryan.
Cracking this cold one for the already elimination of the Miami Dolphins from playoff contingencies.
Mike McDaniel just cursing away in the locker room.
This fucking guys right are fucking motherfuckers. fuck. Did you watch that show?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh man, he cursed more than like white man can't jump. Like it was like the curse words every other word. You know?
He's gonna take his StockX shoes and throw them out the window.
It's like the Ravens, man. First of all, that game was like the Super Bowl. My wife and I watched the whole thing, and I was there when the people started leaving, and I was like, I'm not turning it off. I was like, there's still too much time left. And we're just watching it, and I'm like, there's no way. And they just keep coming back, and I'm like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. And it's not the Ravens. It's fucking Jim Harbaugh. Like, he's awful. He's fucking awful. And he's the defensive coordinator. I don't know why they put him on a goddamn fucking thing. Or John Harbaugh,
the
not Jim Harbaugh.
Goddamn Jets.
Dude, the Baltimore Ravens have lost, like, this is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, at least like 20-some games on defensive
like,
collapses.
Like the last 2 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, there was a super cut of all the scores that looked like a schizo post.
Yeah, I retweeted it because it's so ridiculous. I'll post it in the chat. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, why are they letting that guy play at all?
And going back to the Dolphins, I messaged a friend of mine and said, how long into the season until they have to commit to it, some type of facility to save its life?
Dude, we're 2-3 seasons too late for that shit. That man has had more fucking concussions than, like, military munitions. I mean, like, this guy is more concussed than Vietnam bomb zones.
My dog is shell-shocked.
I swear to God, he throws left when the receiver goes right at this point. Like, he can't even see straight.
He just walks around double vision all the time.
And we can't laugh. Like, we shouldn't laugh about it, but at the same time, like, how can you not laugh about it? Because he's an idiot. I mean, like, what are you doing? I know it's your career, but it's your life, bitch. The fuck are you doing?
His post-game interview, you could literally tell that, like, not all the neurons were firing.
Nah,
like,
you can watch. You could just watch the show. I mean, like, when you watch the show, you felt so bad for him, you know? Like, I really did, because you can see, like, this is a man, this is what he does for a living. Like, it'd be like me saying, Ryan, you can't do what you're doing right now, which is clearly a calling for you. You know, like, you do it every day, and it was a lot of work to get where you are. And now, like, I come in and I just say, you can't do this anymore because it's killing you. You got to find a new path. And you just, what are you going to do? Like, you're in your 20s? Like, what are you going to do? He's in his late 20s, I think. Right.
I mean, that's the real answer is if it's really doing irreparable harm to you, you find a new career.
These guys just don't believe it, bro. He's 27 years old, and he's probably not going to make it.
27 years old, an entire life ahead of you, especially with the name of Tua. Well, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, but with the name of Tua behind you, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do. Back to college and do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Tua Niga Manuela Lopiola.
I'm trying to remember the name. There was a Steelers player that famously went on a high-speed chase in Ohio and started shooting at a police helicopter.
Oh my God, yes, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember who the fuck that was, though, but I remember that vividly.
But I'm curious, oh yeah, I remember that.
How far away we are from that, considering the fact that he plays for Miami?
Oh, dude. Actually, listen, if he gets traded to, like, the Chargers. No, not the Chargers. Is there still a team in L.A.? It is Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two teams in LA.
LA Chargers, yeah. LA Rams.
Yeah, he gets traded to the Chargers. It's an all but certainty he's going to have like a second OJ Chase down the 405. Like, it's going to be fantastic.
I feel like if it's going to happen to anyone, it would happen to Tyreek Hill at this point, like the OJ Chase.
Didn't he get stopped by cops?
I feel bad about Tyreek Hill.
Wasn't he the one
Hill.
That got stopped in Miami by cops on the way to the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely see it. It could have been him. Because I remember he started with some nonsense before he was just like, man, fuck it, it isn't worth it, whatever.
Yeah. Not to mention, I'm pretty sure Tyreek Hill is like a cartoon character. Like, I think he has set, like, how many kids does he have? Like, 12 kids now? He has at least 7 kids.
He has almost as many as Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon just set up Nick Cannon franchises.
But he's hilarious, Daddy.
Have you ever laughed as much as you just laugh at Nick Cannon and Kevin Hart? They're two of the funniest men.
I used to laugh at Nick Cannon until I realized he bagged Mariah Carey at one point, and then I just was just like,
fuck this guy.
It's fucking sad. How the fuck do you do this, bro? Come on, man.
I liked Tyreek Hill too, but like I think he's overpaid. They could have two mediocre receivers in there who catch the ball at least and don't try to like run for like another state every single time, you know? Just drops the ball all the time. Ugh, can't stand him.
But the
other things that drop the ball.
well, real quick, the Steelers player who went on a high speed chase and shot at a police helicopter was Ernie Holmes.
Mm. I knew that name sounds familiar. That's probably yeah.
You always saw that one commercial with Ray Lewis, and he checks in. Ray Lewis looks exactly the same as he always looked, but then Ed Reed checks in. Ed Reed's got his fro out, and it's gray. And I'm like, oh, no.
No.
Ed Reed is old? No.
It means we're all old shit. Fuck.
That's not good. Why does Ed Reed look like Frederick Douglass? This is not okay. I remember when Ed Reed got in the league, for fuck's sake. Shit.
Oh, fuck.
He's a goddamn defensive player of the year, not an abolitionist from the 1850s.
I'm really thinking about it. I'm like, man, fuck, you're not wrong, though.
I'm just like, what's going on there? Can't be that old. Ugh.
So, speaking about shooting at police helicopters, today we're going to be talking about the Osama Senso incident.
Who the fuck is that?
Osama Senso incident?
Osama Senso.
Oh, Senso. Okay. Like Senso, like Senso Tanaka? Hmm?
No, Sanso.
Ah, man. Is he Japanese?
It does take place in Japan. It is the name of a location.
Osamu is a Japanese name, so.
What's Asama? A-S-A-M-A.
Same fucking thing I just said. Just switch the word out. My dude.
You said O.
I'm saying they're both Japanese names.
So in the 1960s, there were a number of leftist student movements that were very like big on Japanese universities. Huh. In a similar fashion to leftist movements growing on universities in Western countries.
Okay.
By the latter part of the 60s, these movements have become very factionalized, competitive, and violent. After a series of incidents in which these leftist student groups injured or killed law enforcement officials and civilians, the National Police Agency, which is kind of like the FBI for Japan, they started to crack down on these groups, raiding their hideouts and arresting dozens in 1971 and 1972.
Yo, y'all gotta stop.
Knock that shit off.
It's too much Meiwaku. You know, Brian, do you know what Meiwaku is?
No.
It's like the Japanese principle of not making a fuss. It's like a social, like cultural okay. thing that they do. So okay. like so like when someone sneezes on a train or something, they might not say God bless you because that would be like to call attention to it. And that would make a fuss, that kind of thing. So, okay. Yeah, that's how it's going with the Meiwaku thing.
Okay.
Attempting to conceal themselves from the police, a core group of radicals from the United Red Army retreated
like
to a
Logan
compound.
Like Logan Paul violated the Mewaku immediately. As soon as he got on Japanese soil, immediately the Mewaku meter was well off the fucking tracks, right? Like they talk about, there's not just the stock market in Japan. There's not just like the Nikkei, okay? There's also the Mewaku meter.
he was like the Admiral Perry of like shithead streamers going to Japan.
Built up too. Like he was tiptoeing. At first, he just tried to put a Pokestop in the Suicide Forest, but that didn't work. And then
the fact that he's doing that video, he's in like a fucking Pikachu hat, isn't he?
Terrible people, man.
I don't remember if he's in a Pikachu hat, but he is in like a ridiculous like outfit.
I don't get it.
He's like, I'm like,
the
dude,
Pauls
come on,
are
man.
Like,
we read the room.
The Pauls are like, at one point, they're basically, they're rich, but they're like the opposite. They're like the rich version of the nihilist from the Big Lebowski. Like they're just going around just doing stupid shit. They have no rules. Like they just do whatever. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'll stop you there, Steve, because the nihilists from the Big Lebowski were actually talented because they were the German band Autobahn.
That's true. Well, no, one of them was Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, and they cut off Amy Mann's toe.
Mm-hmm. Such a good movie.
But they retreated to a compound in Gunma Prefecture during the winter of 1972. The two groups that later merged into the United Red Army independently carried out violent acts in early 1971. The Keihan Anti-Security Treaty Joint Struggle Group, a name that rolls off the tongue, led by Hiroko Nagata and Hiroshi Sakaguchi, raided a gun shop in Muka, Tochigi Prefecture, on February 17th, acquiring 9 shotguns, 1 rifle, 1 air gun, and 2,300 rounds of ammunition.
Oh, man.
Panicked by the quick response from the police, most of the raiders escaped by car, but 2 were left behind. Once
fucking
arrested,
raiders, they like they're the like they're goddamn roving gangs like Fallout.
They identified the culprits, resulting in Nagata, Sakaguchi, and the others being placed on the wanted list.
Not gonna get very far now, are you? That's a good joke.
Separately, the Red Army faction led by Tsuneo Mori and included Kunio Bando, who is still at large today, carried out a series of robberies of 4 banks, 3 post offices, and an elementary school. And these occurred over a period of February 22nd to July 23rd, 1971. This was referred to by the police as Operation M, the M meaning money.
The M stands for money.
At this time, leftist student demonstrations were losing momentum, but other than a few journalists and security specialists, no one had heard of these groups before. The police launched a nationwide manhunt, making it impossible for the perpetrators to hide, even in distant cities such as Sapporo or Kyoto. And both groups decided to converge in the mountainous area of northwest Gunma Prefecture. The Keihan group went to the mountainous area and set up agitation points, which they called Ejipunk, collectively the mountain base, and separate bases were formed on the slopes of Mount Haruna, Mount Kasho, and Mount Miyogi.
Yogi.
Separately, the Red Army faction left the cities and set up a similar base in Yamanashi Prefecture, which was called the Nikura Base. Using funds from the robberies, the United Red Army purchased weapons from the Keihan Group, and in early 1971, the first joint military exercises were held between the two groups, which it was around 29 members in total. However, there was a faction that emerged within the Keihan group that resisted integration. On December 18th, a radio news announced that Shibano Haruhiku, a member of the Keihan group still in the Tokyo area, had been shot to death during an assault on a police station in Itabashi.
God damn, they're pulling the Minnesota trick, huh?
On December 20th, the first leadership conference of the combined groups was held at the Haruna base of the Kahen group. The leaders knew that the police were aware of their general location, and it would be difficult to leave the mountains. Without any hope of outside help or escape, in late 1971, the leaders of the two factions, Mori and Nagata, planned an annihilation operation, which required an ideological review process of criticism and self-criticism of all members.
Wait, what? So what are they going to do? Just basically just kind of go to their death, basically?
Well, yeah, they're essentially planning, like, we're going to go, like, we're going to bust out. I don't think the plan was...
I'm fixing to bust out of here, see?
But they go with this...
If the police knew where they were, if the police knew where they were, and they were stuck in the mountains, and they couldn't really get out...
Mm-hmm. They know the general area.
But, I mean, like, and they call it an annihilation operation, wouldn't that be kind of proposing some sort of a suicide mission?
Well, I believe it was partially suicide, but I also think that they also thought that they'd be able to break out.
Okay.
Because some of these groups as well, like, some of these Japanese, like, communist groups, like, they would partner up with, like, Palestinian groups. Okay. And they would, like, trade off assignments. And, like, which I'll mention here that there was, like, an assault they did, like, one of the groups did on the Lod Airport outside Tel Aviv. Okay. Where they killed like 25 people and injured 80 because they were not expecting, you know, Japanese terrorists to shoot up the Israeli airport. Right. And conversely, they would have Palestinians hit targets in Asia that were relevant to them, like kidnapping like Japanese businessmen and stuff like that from major corporations.
Right. Okay.
It was at the Gunma compound on the second week of February 1972 that the URA chairman, Tsuneo Mori, and Vice Chairman Hiroko Nagata initiated a violent purge of the group. Nagata and Mori directed the deaths by beating of 8 URA members, as well as one non-member who happened to be present.
Oh man, somebody got caught in crossfire. That's shitty.
And it was over like petty like ideological things, like just like there was like an incident involving like cookies. And whether or not the cookies.
Who said you could like have one of my cookies?
Whether or not the cookies were socialist? Cookies?
Who said you could have my like, cookie?
Whether it was counter-revolutionary or revolutionary to eat these cookies, which I think were like an American brand or something, or some from some major brand.
It's oatmeal raisin bourgeoisie. Is peanut butter communist?
Speckwells. The proletariat cannot afford zero calories.
Oreos, are they a definitive definition of capitalism or not?
You know, Engels was very big on the Fig Newton, but Marx was divided, so.
I'm okay with Oreos as long as one of the cookies in the box has only one side on it. This way there's an even distribution of white and black.
You know, Marx said that double stuffed Oreos, you know, that they were too bourgeois.
Oh my god. Only the rich could see this.
Oh fuck. Imagine having serious political conversations over like the political alignment chart of cookies. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Six other members were tied to trees outside, where they froze to death in the frigid weather.
Ah, well, that's a harsh back-to-reality check about what we're talking about. Okay.
On February 16th, police arrested Mori, Nagata, and six other URA members at either their compound or at a nearby village. Five others, armed with rifles and shotguns, managed to escape, fleeing on foot through the mountains towards the community.
Wait. Let's back up like 2 minutes here. So, they tied them to the tree and left them there.
A common.
Yeah, as like a punishment. Torture
technique, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, because remember, there's 29 people in the group, and they've just killed like 11 of them. They've almost killed like half the members of the group. They're like, yeah, we're going to need some people to bust out of here. Anyways, I'm going to kill like half the people here to make sure our mission succeeds.
Oh, my God.
But five others armed with rifles and shotguns managed to escape, fleeing on foot through the mountains towards the nearby community of Kuroizawa in nearby Nagano Prefecture. These five fugitives were Kunio Bando, a graduate of Kyoto University, Masakuni Yoshino, a senior at Yokohama National University, Hiroshi Sakaguchi, 25, a dropout of Tokyo Suisun University, and Jiro Kato, and his brother Saburo Kato. Jiro Kato was 19, Saburo Kato was 16.
So a bunch of fucking teenagers, basically, and children.
Yeah,
children.
Some like guys in their like early 20s and like teens, literally.
Yeah, again, so a bunch of children. Okay.
Citing police pursuit near Kuroizawa on February 19th, the five radicals took refuge in a vacation lodge called the Asama Sanso, the Asama Mountain Villa owned by Kauai Musical Instruments Manufacturing.
What kind of musical instruments?
Pianos. Pianos. My uncle has a pianos? Kauai. Okay. Yeah, my uncle has a Kauai baby grand.
I'm sure they like make pianos, and then they have like a bank, and then they also like make the guidance system for like torpedoes.
That's the craziest shit. Like all the like all those Asian companies will do a whole bunch of shit. Like for instance, the goddamn like female vibrator that they claim is a back massager is also like the same company that makes like a backhoe. It's fucking insane.
Yeah,
they're talking about Hitachi, too. Right?
Yeah,
Hitachi. Yeah.
Hitachi makes the greatest dildo on Earth.
Yeah, Hitachi also used to be really big in Manchukuo.
Uh-huh.
Like they were like one of the main companies, but it's like you know like Yamaha. Like yeah, the big motorcycles. Yeah. You know why their logo is three tuning forks?
Do they make like three different brands of like products that you can buy like motorsports?
Well, they were originally like an instruments company.
Okay.
That's why their logo is like three tuning forks.
Because I know that there's like Yamaha pianos, I want to say, maybe.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me at all because I knew that already, but because I played piano. But but it is interesting, you know.
So this is essentially like a vacation spot that's owned by a company. For like people who work for the company to go to is like a corporate like retreat type place.
Okay.
The radicals entered the lodge and discovered Yasuko Muta, the 31-year-old wife of the lodge's caretaker. She was the only person in the building. Her husband had been out walking their dog, and the lodge's guests had gone ice skating. The radicals would take Muta hostage at gunpoint and barricaded themselves in the building. The structure of the building, though, made it into a veritable fortress. It was a three-story wooden concrete building built into the side of the hill atop an exposed base of steel-reinforced concrete.
Okay.
Mountain? Yeah, so it's essentially built into into solid rock.
Oh,
so you can only like get at it from like one angle, essentially.
Oh, okay.
The upper floor, and it still exists. Like you can see pictures of it. The upper floor was slightly larger than the two below, giving it a sort of like mushroom cap appearance. The lodge towered over the steep snow-covered slopes below, and its windows had heavy outer storm shutters. A lot of people don't know this, but the western side of Japan, or I should say the northwestern side of Japan, because how it's angled, like a lot of people don't live on that side of Japan because it essentially gets like the Arctic winds and it gets like the heaviest snowfall out of like most other regions other than Hokkaido in Japan. Yeah. And that's why, like, Nagano's there, and that's why, like, a lot of people don't live there, because it gets, like, a lot of snow and very cold in the winter. Yeah.
Nagano is where they had the Winter Olympics, and Hokkaido is in the very northern tip. So, I love how the Japanese shovel snow, though.
They just make like giant quiffs.
They make these big walls of snow with the snowplows they have.
Uh huh.
It's just really interesting. Like, you'll be looking at the city after a snowfall, and there'll just be these huge walls of snow that the thing makes as it goes by.
It's just the Suez Canal of snow.
Yeah. You have to see it, like, for it to make sense, I guess. But
so like I said, it also has it's sort of a steep land in front of it. It has storm shutters. It has a maze-like floor plan and narrow staircases, made it easy for the defenders to block off movement inside. The Radicals spent most of their time on the uppermost floor, which contained a kitchen, dining room, a tatami mat, a sleeping room, and a commanding view of the surrounding area. They would place large pieces of furniture and futon bedding around the doors and windows and secure them in place with wire. When Muta's husband had returned and saw the barricades that had been erected, he realized what had happened and quickly notified the police. The police immediately set up roadblocks and surrounded the lodge to cut off any avenues of escape. The police initially decided to wait and see if the Radicals would surrender on their own. After 3 days, though, without a surrender offer from
the... Come on, guys. Come on.
Please. Please, we're asking nicely.
You know, just grinding the toe of his shoe into the ground, you know, putting his fists on his hips. Come on.
Come on, you guys. I just posted a video of the snow corridor, by the way. 65-foot high walls of snow that they plow.
That's fucking sick.
Isn't it sick, man? So crazy. Anyway.
The police shut off the electricity to the lodge and set up loudspeakers from which the parents of several of the radicals implored them to surrender, but they did not.
Surrender, Onagashimasu.
One of
them. Surrender right now.
Surrender, Kudasai.
One of the parents who was participating in this attempt to get them to come out, though, was unfortunately the parent of a son who had been killed in the purge. The police and the parents were unaware of this because the full extent of the purge had become known.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh.
That's pretty crazy.
On February 25th, a police tactical team, the Raya Police Unit of Nagano Prefecture, Police HQ, with the support of the Tokyo Metropolitan Police Department, the Kanagawa Prefectural Police HQ, and the Yamanashi Prefectural Police HQ, began preparations to assault the lodge. A crane equipped with a wrecking ball and an armored driver's compartment was positioned near the building, and police armed themselves with ladders, heavy mallets, and chainsaws.
Ladders? What is this, a fucking Lao Garleung movie?
Well, I guess
Shaw the fucking Shaw Brothers
side of a cliff, so they're like assaulting a fortress, so you gotta have ladders, I'm assuming. It's three stories, you said, right?
Yeah, if you know a better way to see your ramparts, Steve, I'd like to hear it, okay?
No, just you said arm themselves with ladders, which just sounds funny because they're not arms, right? Arm themselves. So I'm thinking they're like weapons, and that's why I was making the joke.
This guy.
They're just going to Jackie Chan it.
No, well, I mean, in my style of Kung Fu, my old style anyway, there's a bench style. It's called horse bench in Southern Hungar. It's this whole like crazy shit where like you just have like a stool and you can just like pick it up and actually fight with it. Like there's forms and shit. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a ladder form somewhere.
Steve, I'm familiar with Gymkhana, okay?
I'm not even joking. It's a real traditional form.
I know it's a real traditional form. I'm just saying, you know, there just happened to be a pommel horse in the middle of the square. And
oh, man. And the Japanese soldiers are arming themselves with parkour.
Buddha's husband would implore the radicals by loudspeaker to release his right wife, but was ignored. Head.
Jesus Christ.
On February 27th, the police used a baseball pitching machine to bombard the building with rocks to keep the hostage takers awake all night.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So, it's not unlike Americans in Iraq using Metallica and the Barney song to torture Middle Eastern, like,
or continually playing Panama on blast to get Manuel Noriega out of the Vatican embassy. Panama.
I don't know. I
this
think
is
I could...
not a new tactic. Trust me.
Listen,
this is not unique.
Panama's a rough one, but I could put up with Panama for a while. I think
I could put up with Metallica for a very long time if you were trying to torture.
Oh
me
yeah,
Metallica.
You can hit me all day.
Like,
all
right, bro. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, I mean, unless it's like post load.
See, we had this discussion the other day. It's like, there's a lot of people who have a lot of opinions about Metallica. There's a lot of people that say after the Black Album it was dog shit. There's people that say it was after Load it was dog shit.
I say, hey, listen.
Anything love Metallica, anything up to Saint Anger. Saint Anger, and after that, suck my dick.
A lot of people did. Nah, a lot of people did. I respect that too. I'm not a douchebag.
I like Load. I like Reload. I like when they did S&M with the San Francisco Orchestra. Like, I like all that shit. All that cheesy fucking Fuel and all the other bullshit. I love the Unforgiven.
Give me Fuel.
Like,
give me Fire. Give me Jabba Zabba Zabba.
I love that dog shit, right? But like, that's just because it was like I was the age that I was at listening to them. Like when that kind of shit dropped, you know.
I have a Kill 'Em All vinyl in my closet, just to give you an idea of who I am. And I love Metallica.
I have Ride the Lightning on tape, on cassette.
Nice. That's awesome. I like the I like everything until the Black Album. I think the Black Album was the downhill. That's what I think.
And I've heard a lot of that opinion, and I'm just like,
because they were more thrash metal before then, and then it kind of went to like, I don't know, melodic, and then like, I don't know, kind of like a grungy metal with the Black Album, and then it became pop. But St. Anger's good. I mean, I feel like that was a return. Anyway, enough about Metallica. We talk about it all day.
The police moved into position for an assault at 8 a.m. on February 28th and issued a final ultimatum an hour later, which went unheeded by the radicals.
What was the ultimatum?
What was the ultimatum doing? <Yeah.
laughs> What was the ultimatum, dog?
What did they tell him? You get no more sushi. Let's go.
Please surrender kudasai. Please to be coming out onegaishimasu.
We will give you the latest issue of Shonen Jump. Please come out.
Gomene.
we will imprison for the rest of their life the asshole who exported anime to the United States.
Oh my God. Don't do that. Those half the country would be out of a job.
At 10 a.m., the crane began to begin hitting the lodge's walls with the wrecking ball. The police cautiously approached the building and began to break through the barricades.
What the fuck is this, the move bombing?
what did they call Philly? Did they say, hey, listen, how do we do this?
I'll tell you what you do. You know where they're at? You go over it, and you drop literal military munitions on a fucking building. That's what you do in your actual city. Like, probably don't want to evacuate or anything. That's too much work. Then you're going to blow your margins.
Destroy everything.
You blow your margins.
Perfect. Just destroy the whole fucking
The mayor will probably pull it if you wait too long. So just get that bomb dropped, you know? Because then once it's dropped, he's got to own it. So, you know, you just, there you go.
Easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. Don't ever forget that.
You know, and by the way, if you know of any boats that are in the Caribbean waters that you suspect might have drug dealers on them, just knock them right out of the water. No judicial process, nothing. No actual evidence presented. No actual knowledge whether these are drug dealers or not. No information about the wreckage. No information about any of that. It's fine. Just drug. These guys are drug dealers. Blow them up.
It's fine. Get rid of them. Kill them. And go birds. Have a nice night.
Yeah. Go birds. Go birds. Go birds. Fly the biggest bird of all. the American Eagle. gay birds. Donald Trump's going to do more than Mayor Randall ever did for this city.
Oh, God. Oh, fucking okay. God. Here we go.
Mayor John Street, Mayor Ed Randall, they're mayor same time because I can't remember much. You know, I'm always down there. I don't get Guinness, really. I get Schmidix. That's what I get. Okay. We don't call it. Some guy came in the bar the other day, and he comes over and says, hey, you guys got Guinness here? And they're like, yeah, we got Guinness. It's not cold, though. We keep it hot. And he said, no, give me a Smithwick. And no one knew what that was. No one knew what a Smithwick was. So me and my buddy went over there. We took him down to Market Street, beat the fuck out of him, and told him, Schmidix, buddy. It's Schmidix. Now, I'm going to get a youngling, a yingling.
Holy fuck.
Oldest brewer in the country. I think so, actually. Oh, Yingling?
That
isn't
was
you,
so fucking awesome. Yeah,
isn't Yingling, like, the oldest brewery in the country?
I think it's the oldest, like, extant brewery. That's, still owned by an American.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's also the oldest continuous brewery, too. Because I think some of the original...
In America.
In America. Because yeah. I think some of the original Budweiser breweries or Anheuser-Busch or whatever, some of the OG ones got either shut down or like transformed into museums or whatever the hell they did. But I think the original Yingling brewery is still the oldest continuous brewing one in the States, I think.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow, the oldest one is in Germany, and it started... It's an abbey, Weihenstephan Abbey.
And it's Weihenstephan.
It started in 1040.
Yeah, you can buy Weihenstephaner beers at like fucking ABC Liquor. Dude, they're amazing. And they're like Trappist beers. They're delicious, bro. Beer. And they do have a Hefeweizen too. That's fucking
I think my awful favorite. I think it's a Trappist beer is what's it called? Brother Thelonious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love Brother Thelonious, man. I love Thelonious Monk. He's my favorite musician. So when I saw a beer that was called Brother Thelonious, I was like, "That's my beer." Like you can't have too many of them because this ABV is fucking
12%, bro.
ABV is up there, my brother.
At a certain point, you're looking like fucking Pete Hegseth, and you're just like, everything's still division, bro.
Hey, I think you know what I think. Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, and here's what we're gonna do. All right, we're gonna follow President Trump's command, and we're just gonna blow boats right out of the water. I'm going to get a new tattoo right on my face that says war criminal, and I'm going to own it. I'm going to own it at Planet Fitness. Let's go.
Oh, God, is he from Philly?
No, I'm just making fun of him.
I was about to say, there's no
I
way.
I got nothing. I don't have a
lot more.
I don't have a Pete Hegseth accent because I cannot stand him at all. In fact, it would be torturous. Like, if they needed to get information from me, they just put him in front of me and have him tell me things that aren't real. And I would just get upset, and I'd eventually crack.
All right.
I give up.
By noon, the police had occupied the two lower floors of the building.
Wait, what are we talking about again? I'm just kidding.
What time did the assault on this building start? Like, what time did they actually, like, start at all?
It started at 9. They moved into position at 8. They gave them an ultimatum, and then they, it sort of began at 9, but at 10 was when they started to actually start to breach the building, because that's when the crane started, like, just hitting the wrecking ball into the wall.
And so it basically took them 2 hours to get up to the second floor?
Yeah, to secure the first and second floors.
God, so they were just going slow, or is this gigantic, this place?
Well, I think it's just as slow, and then they had to, like, cut through things.
Okay.
Because it's, like, tight, and there's not a lot of, like, access. And so they had to, like, literally, like, chainsaw through, like just all the stuff that they had packed up against the doors.
Uh-huh.
The police, though, were unable to breach the defenses on the top floor, and hours later were not able to make any headway. They would use a high-pressure water hose, which they would shoot at the top floor, which gouged out large holes in the building's walls and drenched the radicals in Muda with cold water. This is in the middle of, like, winter. And like, snow country, by the way.
Okay.
During this time, the radicals would keep up a continuous gunfire on the assaulting police and threw homemade bombs at them. Two policemen, Inspector Shigemitsu Takami, 42, and Superintendent Hisataka Uchida,
Chalmers.
47.
Superintendent Hisataka Chalmers.
Yeah. They were... Super Nintendo Chalmers was shot and killed, and 15 other policemen were injured.
I saw the baby, and the baby looked at me. The baby looked at you?
Do you mean to tell me that there are five radical leftists in that building without my knowledge? Yes. Can I see them? No.
Perfect. May I see them? No.
No.
It's a Hokkaido phrase.
Yeah. Really? I'm from Hokkaido. What part?
I'm from Sapporo.
I'm from Utica. Good Lord. Oh shit.
Oh fuck.
Right, a civilian
who pierced the lower floors.
Yes, they've taken the lower floors, they're not able to get to the top. They're drenching everybody on the top floor with like cold, like they're essentially like shooting the fire hose at them in the middle of winter. The radicals have killed two policemen. They've injured 15. A civilian who broke through the police barricade without permission was also shot, reportedly by the radicals, and was fatally wounded.
Uh-oh. Can't kill civilians, man.
As it went into night and darkness fell, the police breached the top four's barricades and captured one of the brothers. The remaining four radicals burrowed into a pile of futon bedding and refused to surrender. As the police approached, Bando shot one of the policemen, Masahiro Endo, in the eye.
What year was all this?
1972.
Can you imagine if this had happened in like 2025 in the United States? Like, the cops would have just nuked that whole house and just been like, fuck you, we don't care. They just murdered everybody. Like, these cops are doing everything that they can to like not kill these people and just kind of like get it all to like peacefully resolve.
Yeah, I mean, it's comical, but they are actually trying not to. It seems like anyway,
yeah.
They're trying not to.
It's just like, oh, now they're buried into futon mattresses and they won't come out. I'm like, bro, the cops would have obliterated you in the United States. They would have literally just shot through the mattresses and like, fuck it, whatever.
That's when they would have thrown a flashbang into the room, like into a baby's crib and just ignited them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, dude, the stark contrast from other countries.
Yo, I think we hit a baby.
United States,
nice.
Insane to me.
Nice, keep it going.
And you could say, oh, it's the 70s. Like, oh, it's a different time period in the 70s. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, just the kind of the approach of law enforcement is just, it's crazy the difference.
And, you know, another thing about this, right? Justin Jefferson only has one reception for 4 yards. What the fuck? God damn it, man. It's all these commercials and shit. Like, you know.
Oh, fuck.
He's up there high on the draft board, and he's just fucking turd. Jeez.
Endo would lose his eye but survived.
Eventually,
at 6:15 p.m., 280 hours after the incident began, the remaining four radicals were taken into custody and Muda was rescued.
How come I haven't heard about this before? Is it because it's before I was born?
This make a great movie, to be honest.
They've made a couple movies about this and like the whole thing in the mountains where they go like crazy and like kill off the people.
Oh, yeah, like the Tunguska.
I think you mean like Dyatlov Pass.
Yes.
Tunguska's the meteorite.
Yes, I do mean Dyatlov. Thank you.
I want to see the David Fincher version of this standoff in movie version. The guy who made Fight Club. I want to see the David Fincher version of this.
Muda was cold but uninjured, and told police that her captors had not mistreated her, although they had tied her to a bed during most of the standoff.
Are you okay? I'm cold. Jesus, write that down. We need to know. Somebody in the future might want to know. Was she cold? Was she cold? You could just say Mula's uninjured. Not Mula's a little chilly, but she was uninjured. it's an unnecessary thing. Muda had female breasts, but she was uninjured. like, no shit.
That same evening, being upset by his son's behavior, Bando's father would hang himself in his home in Otsu, a city near Kyoto.
Wow.
Again, a cultural difference that I would just be like, never understand that kind of shame that brings upon your family. Somebody would do something so drastic. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. At 9:40 a.m. on February 22nd.
Well, that's because you live in a modern society who allowed you to develop yourself with, you know, reasonable thinking as opposed to weird, antiquated, systemic inculcation of folk belief, you know, of like the nobility and shit. Like, fucking, this country was, this Sanomabachin country was founded.
At 9:40 a.m. on February 22nd, the public broadcaster NHK began live continuous coverage of the siege that lasted until 8:20 p.m. that night.
I love me some NHK.
Ratings for the coverage averaged.
Dude, you don't watch NHK, bro?
No.
Ah, it's great. It's over the air HD. You can get it in Orlando. It's over the air.
Okay. Is it like PBS but for Japan?
It's like Japanese PBS basically. Yeah. Except every once in a while, motherfucking sumo. And it's probably the best place. I love sumo, and it's probably the best way to watch sumo, to be honest with you, because it's just like first of all, they put in English speaking announcers and they just sum it up. They skip all the ceremony and stuff. So you just get the action. It's like the NFL red zone for sumo.
Right.
It's pretty much the only place you can legally watch sumo, other than, I think, like one streaming service you have to pay for.
Yeah, because sumo also, is, by the way, sumo is a Shinto ritual. Fuck you, red zone for
commercials this year.
I've heard that it was a very, very small number. So hopefully it doesn't get worse, but we'll have to see.
Of course it's going to get fucking worse, dude. Don't be ridiculous. We live in a capitalist society where they're like, oh, we can get away with commercials. Every year we're going to put in five more every game. It's
I canceled my NFL Network over it. So I'm watching it closely. I'm hopeful they'll back off. They make so much money on that shit, and you barely get any content. So it's like, I don't get it. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. Oh, we're going to put
any content for like the NFL Red Zone?
I don't watch Red Zone. I sub to the NFL Network to watch like the sports shows and stuff like that. And then to, you know, they get like four games a year, so now I can watch those. It's somewhere like $800 to $900, I think, to watch every game, by the way, this season. That's how much
I think it's more than that.
No, it's like $800 to $900. It's not. Really? I looked it up. Well, at least that was according to Gemini. Insane, dude. So, but.
Dude, that's
still crazy. Yeah, it's a $1.20, $1.40 for MLB for half the fucking year, and then like it's like $800-$900 for the entire football season, which is what, 3 months, 4 months tops.
It's
4 months, so it's like almost half or whatever. It's crazy.
I want to go back to the days where AFC played on CBS, NFC played on Fox. You got to watch what games were in your fucking area, and that was it. None of this fucking bullshit where you get to.
Well, I don't want to go back to
$16,000. You can watch every.
I respect you, but I don't want to go back to that. All right, and right now you get the Miami Dolphins versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Oilers.
You know, you get local games, and then you get Sunday night football and Monday night football. And
dude, I'd have to watch Bucks games
blacked out. Fuck off.
And Miami games, dude. I don't want that. Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
I would too.
You would have to have watched the Dolphins get murdered by Indianapolis.
Watching Tua is kind of like watching an episode of House, like live, and you're trying to diagnose whether or not he has concussion syndrome, like live. You know, I'll look at that. You see what he's dead?
Every time he gets hit, you hold your breath for a second to see if he's going to get back up.
Oh, look, they just threw Tyreek. He's going to get a big catch. Oh, the defender was a lot faster than the fastest player in the league, apparently. Oh. The cheetah got caught. What happened?
Ratings for the NHK's coverage averaged 50.8% and peaked at 89.7% at 6:26 p.m. Vehicle traffic was noticeably lighter throughout the day in Tokyo, and media coverage showing police officers consuming cup noodle is attributed to having popularized the instant noodles as an emergency food item in Japan.
Really? So this event led to the onset of cup noodle soup?
Becoming like a disaster food.
A global juggernaut that it is?
Yes.
I like cup noodle, bro. I like it. There's something homeless about it that is really good. You know?
Something homeless?
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, I remember last time, I haven't had a cup noodle in a while, but the last time I had one, I've had two in the last, like, 15, 16 years. And I had one at work, and then I had one at this, like, job site way back in the day, like 2009. And there, anywhere else I'd have to go, I'd have to drive, like, 45 minutes to get food. I gotta be honest. It was good. You know?
Dude, cup noodles are delicious.
Yeah. I was the only guy there in the fucking cafeteria that didn't work at the company. I was the only contractor, and I sat and fucked around on my phone and ate my cup noodle. It was delicious. And then I pounded six coffees, and I finished my job. Dude, speaking of pounding coffees, man, we had this one job site. I was working up there. They had Keurigs built into the water lines, and they were still putting the building together, but there were some researchers in there. I can't say the name of the company because you guys know who they are, actually.
Okay.
They're pretty
controversial. Say it, but just
leave it out in post. I can't.
Say it. No, but you can just leave it out.
Then I gotta edit it, dude.
Come on. Like, you're not gonna be editing it anyway. Come on.
Fucking
okay. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
So I was there when they were still building the new building, and I put it in the environmental monitoring systems, so I feel bad about that. But yeah, they had the coffee hooked up to the water systems. Bro, I must have went through a box of Keurig a day, because they just had drawers of fucking K-cups, and I was just constantly over there. At one point, let me tell you how bad I was being. At one point, the GC came up to me for the site and was just like, bro, if I fucking see you in the kitchen again that I did... I'm like, listen, I'm on like 16 cups. I need at least two more to get me to noon. All right,
I'm almost to the point of I might as well have just smoked meth with the amount of caffeine I've consumed.
No, you know what's crazy about it is I was on Vyvanse at the time too.
Jesus fucking Christ, bro!
I was
your
slamming
heart
coffee.
Must
like
have
a
been just
mustard.
This side of ready to fucking explode.
I still exercise. I exercised when I got home. You know, I did my thing. It got a lot of work. Will I die of it at some point? Maybe. Who knows?
Probably. Who cares?
This is shit. Fuck it.
At that point, you're dead anyway, right?
I still got my money's worth in Keurig, and I wasn't getting paid well, so, you know, that was like a bonus, you know? Keep me at the goddamn La Quinta. Fuck you.
If I see you in the fucking kitchen with a cup of coffee one more time.
Yeah. He was like, bro, if I see you in this kitchen one more fucking time today... I'm telling you, it was just this massive drawer. It was like a drawer for like a bunk bed or like a trundle bed that's got, you know, a thing that rolls out. It was like a drawer big. Yeah. And you pull it out and it had every flavor on earth. Fucking mocha, chocolate, flap of vanilla, whatever, right? You just get whatever the fuck you want. Dark roast, light roast, high yellow roast,
awesome.
Whatever the fuck you want, bro. This shit was ridiculous. Oh, man.
Red roast, whatever kind of roast you want.
That's like a BET joke, man.
Oh, fuck. That's good.
The five radicals were charged on six counts. Two murders, one attempted murder, obstructing police in the execution of their duties, violation of the firearm and sword possession control law, and illegal confinement.
It's like
two murders. I thought they murdered half of their fucking cohort.
Wait a minute. Five radicals, six counts. It's like a fucking Abbott and Costello bit about to happen. What do you mean six counts? Which one of them got two counts? None of them. They all got the same amount of counts. What do you mean? There's five radicals. There's six counts. There's one left over. Tell me who got two counts. They all got the same amount of counts.
Well, if they all get the same amount of counts, there's five guys, there's six counts. Clearly, somebody got extra counts.
I'll fucking kill you, bud. hits him with a Stilson wrench.
I believe they were only charged with the two murders because they were not the leaders, and then they could only prove that they had killed the police officers that they killed.
Okay. Yeah.
Four were sentenced to long prison terms, and Sakaguchi was sentenced to death.
Yeah.
Oh, his name Japan is has a death penalty?
Sakaguchi.
Yeah, Sakaguchi.
Oh, Gucci. Okay.
Sakaguchi.
Sakaguchi. Right. That's what I heard. I was gonna
laugh. Yeah, I said it incorrectly.
Yeah. As a joke.
On June 24th, 2013.
This is Wimp Low. Sorry. Anytime I get the opportunity to make that fucking Kung Fu Hustle reference, or not Kung Fu Hustle reference, Kung Pao reference, I will do it.
Into the fist.
On June 24th, 2013, the Supreme Court of Japan rejected an appeal from Sakaguchi for a retrial, leaving him on death row awaiting execution.
Well, on 9/8/2025, the Supreme Court of the United States said that it was okay to use race as a determining factor for ICE to pick people up off the streets without any fucking goddamn warrant.
Absolutely insane.
Which one's worse?
Of the three Kato brothers that were in the group, the eldest died during the internal review process, the purge that was done by the group. The second, age 19, was arrested and was sentenced to 13 years hard labor. And what the youngest, who was 1972.
Oh, okay. So and the, it was, and the youngest, too late. Go ahead.
And the youngest, 16, who was arrested, was sent to reform school.
You said purge, and I was thinking, like this was, I don't know why I had it in my head that this happened, in the 50s or 60s for some reason. I wasn't paying attention, I guess. I was thinking they might say, like, poige, you know?
See, poige him.
Ah, he got poiged.
Yeah, give him the purge. On August 8th, 1975, the Japanese government released Bando and flew him to asylum in Libya in response to demands from the Japanese Red Army members who had stormed the U.S. and Swedish embassies in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and taken 53 hostages.
So you're saying we got to let Bando go? I mean, come on.
Dude, the 70s was like the golden age of like hijackings, kidnappings.
Yeah, man.
Big time crimes. Like, that shit must have been fucking wild to live in the 70s, and not as like a child, but like as an adult to like understand what was going on in the world. Like, that must have been a crazy time to fucking live in. I understand now why they all smoked so much fucking weed. They smoked themselves stupid, but like, fuck, dude. Because you have things like all the hijackings, you know what I'm saying? You have the no TSA, obviously, no security. So like, people are just like getting on planes,
just walking on from the street. I'm gonna fly somewhere.
Yeah, the Iran. They took the hostages at the Olympics. At the Olympics, in was it in Iran or was it in Israel?
It was in Germany. It was in Munich. It was at the Munich Games, and it was the Palestinians. Yeah. Black September took the Israeli athletes hostage.
Yeah, it was crazy. There's really shit going on, man. Young Jeff Goldblum starting his career, you know.
That was in the 70s, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, that was a crazy fucking decade. And, like, we don't, like, we acknowledge all the things that happened. We don't really talk about, like, how insane the 70s actually fucking were.
It is crazy. Yeah, there's this one, I think we brought it up on here before. It's like, I can't remember what it's called. 80 Blocks from Tiffany's. You ever see that? It's a documentary from 79. It's a documentary from 79 that depicts this like shitty little gang in the South Bronx in New York. Mm-hmm. Dude. New York. Ugh.
In the 70s was a rough
place. Oh my God, dude.
Rough
place. It's like a war zone.
It's
crazy. Like Mike Tyson was from
Catskills. Hell yeah, dude! It's fucking crazy out there, man.
Any big city was fucking insane. Like, I hear stories from like my grandmother and my dad and my uncle about South Boston, how fucking insane it was in the '70s, and I'm like, Jesus Christ! Like, what the fuck,
bro? God, I'm telling you, if you think that it, if you in any way think it might be like not legitimate, watch 80 Blocks. You should watch 80 Blocks from Tiffany's anyway. You probably watch it on YouTube, but
I'll take a look at it. I'll look at it.
Oh, sounds it's super interesting. Yeah.
Bando was later believed to have assisted in the hijacking of Japan Airlines Flight 472 from Paris to Tokyo.
God damn it, Bando!
1977, forcing the jet to land in Dhaka. He remains at large to this day and has reportedly spent time between 1997 and 2007 in Russia, China, the Philippines, and Japan. Weekly gossip magazines blame the hostage, Muta, for the deaths of the two officers. Quotations from her initial press conference were twisted out of context to make it sound like she had become friends with her captors, and her presence at the funerals for the two officers was denounced in the weeklies as a hypocrite, quote-unquote, shedding crocodile tears.
Wow. That's pretty fucked up. I can't stand rag mags like that.
After these articles were posted, she refused to speak any further about her ordeal. She remained in the area and worked at
a nut house? What did you say?
Another lodge.
Another lodge.
Oh, okay. I think we cut out there for a second.
The incident, along with the Lod Airport massacre, which I mentioned previously, that occurred several months later, and several hijackings, contributed to an intense social backlash amongst the Japanese population against radical student leftist groups. After this incident, the leftist movement in Japan greatly decreased in numbers and enjoyed much less popular support.
Yeah, obviously. Shit, I can imagine. Oh, this guy just got sentenced to death? Yeah, I don't think this movement is worth it anymore.
Yeah, recently there was a rumor that I think it was Bando was at the headquarters for the Japanese Communist Party. And this was like a year or two ago. And that they it was during COVID, and the Japanese Communist Party people made the police like queue up and like tested them, like took their temperature with a thermometer, like one of those like scanning thermometers to make sure that they weren't sick before letting them in.
Jesus Christ.
And in that time, Bando was successfully shipped via DHL to another place.
Oh, that's fucking awesome, though. That's hilarious.
Did you know Hideo Kojima is a member of the Japanese Communist Party?
Nah, but it tracks.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, they're not really like radical. They're not really a radical political party. They're kind of muted.
Well, there's a lot of that in Japan. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of little shitty like parties. Every time they do their election, it's on NHK, and if you turn it on, the results will be on the bottom. And there's always like this one group. It's like it's like the Party to Reform and Eliminate the National Broadcaster NHK. That's the name of the group.
Oh yeah,
it's like they have like 3 votes every time.
Because in Japan, like in the UK, you have to pay like a tax. Like if you have a TV, like they come to your door, like in the UK, and they're like, "Do you have?"
TV tax, you have to pay.
Because everybody was.
We know, but our 9 listeners might not know there, Steve. Okay,
they so don't. They know. They know.
Because everybody was going crazy recently because Sanseito, the one like insane like far right political party, they got like 3 seats, and so people were like, it's like, oh, Japan shifted towards fascism. It's like, no, they got 3 seats, man. Their leader didn't even win his own district.
Oof, that's rough.
But they're like an insane like racist political party that's also like anti-vax.
They'd fit right here. They'd fit in right here in America.
They're essentially like if RFK had a successful like political like campaign, like this is what it would be. Like they're against gay people. They essentially like all the like the fascist boxes of like RFK's political stances. It's like they click all of them.
Bro, God.
They're racist. They hate gay people. They think COVID-19 is a bioweapon.
That hearing was hilarious.
And vaccines are also a weapon.
That hearing was hilarious, dude.
Knowing that you're going to be required to have a prescription for a COVID vaccine is fucking infuriating. I went and got my flu shot today just to make sure I could actually fucking get it before, God forbid, they take it away from you. But like,
yeah, I'm going.
I, I fucking hate this guy. Like, I despise the fucking air he breathes because of the shit he fucking pedals.
And I may have to get a coach out, like, when I go back home, you know? Like, just be easier. At this point, I qualify based on the thing, and everyone's just waiting for Florida pharmacies to, like, let you do it in all the counties. There's a few counties where you can go get it right now. But it's still fucked up. It's still stupid.
I fucking hate it.
Anyway, so Bando is still on the run.
Yep, Bando is still, yeah. Bando on the run. That's the same thing.
Bando on the run. Good night, everyone.
Steve, when you edit this, I need you to, that's our outro. Bando on the run.
Bando on the run. All right. Later.
Good night. Good luck.
Bye.